Good morning. This is Jack Llewellyn. And for all the Chamber's upcoming events, you can simply go to DurangoBusiness.org. And we have a lot of events. We have a lot of things going on. One thing that is coming up is the issue of 1A, which is here in, for the residents of Durango, and that is to vote whether to keep fluoride in the water or have fluoride removed from the water from the source here in Durango. And with me this morning, I have Dr. Angela Pinkerton with Durango Kids Pediatric Dentistry. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Well, no, absolutely. And I guess, you know, I want to ask you, I think I've had fluoride in my water growing up and all of that, and, you know, all those years. So let me ask, why do we need fluoride in the water?
Well, fluoride in the water has been proven for over 70 years to prevent tooth decay for both children as their teeth are developing, but also as adults. We're all aging longer and keeping our teeth longer. And this reduction has been noted at 25% on a community level, but could be even higher for individuals.
So, and it sounds to me like, you know, for some people, this could be the one way they get fluoride if they're not brushing. We'll talk about oral health and some of those things a little bit later. But how does the fluoride work in the water? How does it all work? I mean, we obviously drink it.
So systemic supplemental fluoride is incorporated into the development of the enamel that makes the tooth stronger and harder and less susceptible to an acid challenge. It's also incorporated into the saliva. So when we drink water supplemented with fluoride, there are ions that remain present in the mouth and the saliva that becomes a bioavailable during the demineralization and remineralization cycle. What all of that really means...
Yeah, what does that mean? Huh?
Well, what all that really means is that whenever you eat something, an acid challenge occurs and the tooth begins to break down. When your saliva is full of ions like calcium and phosphate, it neutralizes the acids and the tooth structure is rebuilt. Fluoride ion will rebuild the tooth structure to make it even stronger and less insoluble or more insoluble to the next acid challenge. That's why a constant level of fluoride is helpful throughout the day, and it's a different level of protection than, say, brushing your teeth with fluoride toothpaste.
Oh, okay. So it stays with you in your drink and helps to basically get rid of the bad bacteria and the acids.
Absolutely. Okay. Of course, drinking water is always diluting the acidic solution, but you're replenishing those ions that can help remineralize after an acid challenge. And so it's a continuous process because you're always swallowing, you're always spitting, you're always depleting those ion sources. So you need to replenish it, and we know that fluoride is an ion that will help strengthen the enamel and decrease the solubility. So that's kind of all how it works on a chemical level.
Well, I remember the Colgate fluoride MFP helped prevent the cavity, and it tastes great naturally. I remember that, you know. And so let me ask you this: what are the things that you see as a dentist from people that don't have fluorinated water versus, you know, do you see a difference? Let's say if somebody lives
Absolutely.
Like out of the Mesa, that's well water versus in town.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of people don't think that kids get cavities, but they certainly do. And some of these children, you need to keep your teeth as a child until you're almost 13 years old. So a cavity in a baby tooth can be very debilitating for a young growing child. Kids of all ages and demographics can get cavities, but the majority of children that have, say, 12 out of 20 teeth affected are from non-fluoridated areas. We see a lot of children, say, from Cortez and Pagosa Springs that don't have fluoride in their water. I'm positive that their parents aren't brushing their teeth differently or feeding them differently than the children here in Durango. But the level of decay that we see is drastically different from those areas. And
so let me ask this. So obviously there's scientific data and proof that having fluorinated water does help prevent tooth decay, especially in younger kids. I mean, the statistics out there. Now, Let me ask this. Understand how fluoride can help teeth, but, you know, the controversy of ingesting it and too much of it can cause problems for your health and have a reverse, you know, other effects. But what are, in your professional opinion, what are some of the things that can happen that could hurt me possibly?
You know, Jack, this has been studied extensively, and fluoride has not been associated with any systemic disease process with the exception of dental fluorosis. That's that lacy white stain that you can see on people's teeth, and it's usually from when toothpaste has been ingested at a very young age.
Okay.
So no claims of thyroid disease or cancer or ADH or low IQ. Those are false and unfounded, and they're not supported by any peer-reviewed credible sources.
So it kind of, and I want to ask you this. So it, just while you're talking about this, I'm going, well, I guess if you don't want fluorinated water, you can buy bottled water or, you know, other sources of water so you don't have it, so you're not ingesting it all the time. I mean, that is that safe to say?
Exactly. There's always ways that you could eliminate your exposure. You know, fluoride is naturally occurring in the water, and even if they didn't supplement the fluoride as it gets to your home, it's going to pick up more fluoride through the pipes, and your tea that you're brewing has its own level of fluoride, and the beer that you're drinking has its own level, and the wine that you have, whether you put ice in it or not, has its own level of fluoride. I mean, fluoride is really kind of part of the world that we live in.
So someone once said that, you know, fluoridation, if I'm pronouncing that right, is kind of similar to supplementing milk with vitamin D or orange juice with vitamin C. Is that kind of correct?
That's how I view it. Uh-huh. I mean, our community has elected to provide protection in the water supply with fluoride because it's cost effective and it's proven to be helpful. And that's based on scientific evidence. Right. I want my children to benefit from fluoridated water. I don't think that there's this secret conspiracy that fluoride is in the water. If you don't want to drink it, you can buy bottled water or you can install a filtration system. There are still a lot of people that appreciate the fact that this community is trying to promote health and that removing the fluoride from the water appeases a small subculture's belief system, but it deprives the majority of the right to enjoy fluoridated water.
Right. Now, this is Jack talking, not, you know, chamber or anything, but I think a lot of times there's energy traction comes about from a vocal minority group. And so I guess, you know, when we talk about this, voting no on 1A, voting no on 1A will keep fluoride in the water. That's what I'm trying to, as I'm always trying to remember how the wording of the ballot, and I haven't seen the ballot yet, but it seems to me like kind of like a vocal minority of people are probably kind of the groundswell of where this is coming from. You don't have to reply or respond to that. I won't put you on the spot.
Well,
go ahead.
I would just say that, you know, the debate over water fluoridation is part of the scientific method, and that all processes should always be questioned and reviewed to ensure that the greatest good for all is always in place. And I think that both sides are vested in trying to make our community safe, and that their interest for each member's health is at heart. And that's where the component of solid scientific evidence comes into play to establish policy. And right now, to date, there are no supportive studies that show fluoridation results in harm, but there are supportive studies that show that it provides protection. And this is supported by the American Dental Association, the American Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the CDC, the Colorado Dental Association, the World Health Organization, your physician, your dentist, your pediatrician, your school board, your city. Yes, vote no on 1A.
So it obviously, because one thing I want to point out too, because I remember as a kid, and I got a lot of cavity, I got a lot of gold and silver, whatever, in my mouth from years when I was growing up, and I had softer enamel, you know, and I probably was not one of those better brushing kids. Now as an adult, I'm told, oh yeah, Jack, you've done a great job, everything, but obviously the damage from earlier, and I'm sure that there are things too, along with the fluoride in the water, brushing your teeth in the morning, brushing your teeth especially at night to get the bacteria, flossing, getting all that food between the teeth removed. And these are all things that can also go along with helping prevent tooth decay.
Exactly. So we classify cavities as a multifactorial disease process, which means there are a lot of things that cause cavities. It could be the type of saliva that you have. It could be your buffering capacity of the saliva. It could be the types of foods that you eat, how frequently you eat it, and how frequently you brush your teeth, your oral hygiene practices and things. And that's why fluoride in the water is one level of protection. It's not the end-all be-all. It's not the magic bullet, but it does provide a level of protection that we experience. And we're not going to know if it's removed. It'll take 10 years for it to be identified that, that was working well, and maybe we should put that back in. So that's where I feel like we've looked at, you look at other communities that have fluoride in the water, and you don't see some of these scary claims that have been described, and it's hard for me to believe that.
Right. And the water treatment facility, too, I mean, they're doing this very scientifically. They're measuring it parts per million or whatever to make sure that they're, quote unquote, not an overdose. I mean, you can't just pick up a stick of fluoride and eat it.
Absolutely. The workers at the water treatment facility are so meticulous when it comes to, it's a very scientific process. Right. And I applaud them for the attention to detail that they place on supplementing the fluoride. Sure. And I think that they're personally offended because they're doing their job that has been designated by, you know, their community members, their elected officials that told them to place that in there. And
I also want to point out, you know, this is because with the amount of kids that we have in our community, and I stop and think about, again, some of the kids may not have the parental oversight to brush and to take care of their teeth and to do these things. And this can just help slow down a process. I can see the benefit of it.
Exactly. That's why community policies like this, like healthcare policies, sure, are established, because we're all working together and we're all taking care of it. So it kind of takes a village.
Right. So I do have one question. Why didn't you bring me a toothbrush? I'm kidding. I got
brushed. We have lots.
Yeah. Well, I'll
swing by. We'd be glad to share.
Now, let me ask you: do you know of any website, or is there a number people can call if they have questions? Can they call your office? Is that something?
Absolutely. You can always contact our office. 970-259-0600.
Okay.
There's a website. Vote No Durango on 1A.
Okay.
Durango.org.
And you can Google it. I mean, that's the other thing, too. We can always Google and just put, you know, vote no on 1A or fluoride in Durango water, and I can guarantee you things are going to come up. So you can look at it, you know, and compare and become educated. But from a personal standpoint, again, I go back to the science behind it, which is something that, you know, you've conveyed many times during this interview. There's a lot of science behind this, and it's not just, you know, we're throwing fluoride into the water.
Honestly, I feel like the best way to provide and protect the civil liberty for everyone is to keep the fluoride in the water, because then there's still an element of choice. You can still choose to have fluoride, or you could choose to purchase.
Get a filter, get your bottled water. And I guess the other thing, like you say, think of the impact this could have on bad tooth decay with kids and adults.
Of course, I have my focus is on health, the health of the community, but others may understand the hundreds of thousands of dollars that fluoridation could save the community in healthcare dollars, and for, like you say, some of our underprivileged children that could be experiencing this, it's very costly.
Sure.
For the taxpayers.
Okay, well, before you leave, can you look at Derek? I'm just kidding. Dr. Angela Pinkerton, thank you so much for coming in.
It was a pleasure.
We got to send it back to the studios. You've been listening to Chamber Chat. And again, educate yourself and check out and make sure you vote. Thanks for coming in. We got to send it back to the studios. Have a great day.